The Public News Service Daily Newscast, September the 16th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. I guess you could say Wednesday a new category of people was created, space tourists. CNBC reporting that SpaceX launched its Inspiration 4 mission Wednesday evening from the NASA facility in Florida, successfully bringing its all-civilian crew into orbit. The mission is the first private crew launch to orbit by Elon Musk's company and the first time a crew is made up entirely of non-professional astronauts. CNBC says the multi-day trip was paid for by a billionaire for an undisclosed amount, with the main goal of the space flight to raise $200 million for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Meantime, more than 200 high earners have written a letter urging Congress to raise taxes to help support social safety net programs that would have a major impact on states like Pennsylvania.
The $3.5 trillion budget plan unveiled by House Democrats would increase taxes for the country's wealthiest to help fund the Biden administration's Build Back Better agenda, which would lower costs on childcare and healthcare and also create jobs to tackle climate change. Ashley McBride of 4-Hour Future PA says the plan is ambitious but necessary to move the state and nation forward.
This idea of folks paying their fair share, it doesn't seem like rocket science. It is something that we should want to do in communities in which we live because we know when our neighbors thrive, it also means that we thrive. But we still know that there are millions upon millions of Americans and folks across the Commonwealth who could still benefit from their prescription drug costs being lower.
9 Pennsylvanians were among those who signed the letter addressed to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. A recent poll showed that Americans overwhelmingly support raising taxes for the wealthy instead of borrowing and increasing debt. I'm Emily Scott.
A new coalition pushing back against predatory lending and urging state lawmakers to take action to protect consumers.
Indiana has 286 payday loan storefronts where people go to take out small loans with high interest rates, and borrowers often are low-income Hoosiers who can't pay the loans back and get caught in a debt cycle. Natalie James is one of the leaders of the Hoosiers for Responsible Lending Coalition. She says predatory lending has been an issue brewing for years, and she notes the pandemic has made many folks more financially insecure.
We aim to send a message to our federal and state lawmakers that a pandemic is no time to allow lenders to take advantage of Hoosiers' financial distress.
82% of payday borrowers take out another loan within 30 days of paying off their previous one. James notes that some states have reasonable caps on the annual percentage rate, or APR, the overall cost of financing these loans, including fees, but Indiana is not one of them. I'm Lily Bolke reporting.
This is PNS. As the Biden administration challenges a Texas law restricting abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy, Planned Parenthood for Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. residents launching a program that focuses on patients accessing care at home.
Dr. Serena Floyd, medical director for Planned Parenthood of Metropolitan Washington, says Texas's near-total ban on abortion highlights a need for expanded services from telehealth to prescriptions by mail for medical abortions. Her group is only the second Planned Parenthood location in the U.S. to offer the service, following St. Louis's lead. Floyd thinks the approach will become more common as abortion rights are challenged.
Whether we're talking about those who no longer have access to it in Texas and who having to travel out of the state, and for those that are in surrounding areas, depending on how licensing is set up, individuals from anywhere in the country can provide this care to individuals.
This week, the Biden administration filed an emergency request to a federal judge in Austin to block enforcement of the Texas abortion ban, which makes no exceptions for rape, sexual abuse, or incest. I'm Diane Bernard.
Economists say the latest predictions of Social Security's imminent demise should be taken with a healthy dose of skepticism.
Social Security, the program credited with lifting 15 million older residents in Wyoming and across the U.S. out of poverty, will become insolvent by 2034. That's according to the most recent report by Social Security trustees. However, some economists say dire predictions do not reflect the reality of how the program operates. Max Sawicki with the Center for Economic Policy Research has studied the program for nearly three decades. He says any actual threats to Social Security are not economic, they're political.
If people are persuaded that the program will fail, then it's easy to take it away from them. We've been hearing these scare stories about deficits forever, and none of the doom that was predicted has panned out.
I'm Eric Galatis.
And finally, our Eric Tigetoff tells us that closed fisheries from imperiled fish runs in the Columbia River Basin are prompting calls for action before it's too late.
Steelhead trout numbers in the Columbia and its tributaries could be the lowest since records began in the 1930s. On the Columbia, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife issued an emergency closure on salmon fishing up to the Bonneville Dam, although portions now have reopened with strict limits. Marsha Brownlee with the National Wildlife Federation says this summer has brought the threat into focus.
The outfitters, guides, and other businesses that really depend upon healthy salmon and steelhead runs, they're shutting their doors for the season. Anglers are walking away from what sustains them in order to protect it.
As Congress works on the budget reconciliation package, Washington leaders are backing the inclusion of salmon habitat improvements.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Member and listener supported, heard on interesting radio stations. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.